All right. A nice night. A nice, decent night. Got to put down the studio volume before I start feeding back. Good evening, everybody. It's the same time, same place. This is what builds muscle memory. It's repetition. You show up and you do the job. You work and you commit. And some days you ask yourself why. What the fuck is any of this worth? But it's worth a lot. It's a lot of fun. And I never regret it. It's almost like a good workout. You never regret it at the end. Although there's some nights I do. I should lie. I shouldn't lie, I should say. There's some nights I said, oh. But welcome to the Tuesday night show. It is June 19th, 7:01 p.m. on the East Coast and broadcasting live from the docks of the old parachute factory here in Westchester, New York, and syndicated around the globe via you. All over the place on Periscope and YouTube and Twitch. Embedded nice and cozily on quitefranklypodcast.com. What are we all talking about tonight, everybody? Well, first thing we're going to be... we're going to be talking about a little bit of what I said last night in passing. I said something last night in passing about illegal immigration. Now, it's the big topic of the week because... they need something. They need something. And they're going all in. All in. We're going to talk a little bit about the IG hearing, too, with Michael Horowitz. That was frustrating in some ways, illuminating in others. We'll see. We'll talk about it. But I really want to go down on and answer one question, or at least come up with a better question to ask, on the theme of illegal immigration and how profitable it actually is. Because... what we at the bottom of the pyramid are made to do is debate the compassion theme of illegal immigration. What compassion is and what altruism is and where it all plays a part in this, okay? Well, so we're talking about emotional themes over here, whereas... everybody else that seems to be involved in this is making off like a bandit, getting rich off of taxpayer money. Rich. And not only is it just one of the filthiest schemes that deals in human capital, not only is it one of the filthiest schemes that deals primarily in human capital, where body count is really just, that just means dollars. Okay? Warm bodies just means dollars. That's just what it comes down to. Not only that, but it is also done at the expense of what was once a sovereign nation, or at least examined or treated as a sovereign nation. That is no longer the principle of anything. Nobody gives a shit about borders, at least the people who are trying to divvy up the world and is playing with the world like it's a game of dominoes. They don't care about borders. They don't care about individual cultures and individual countries and their identities and their cultures and the preservation of that and how that actually contributes to a diverse, beautiful world. Something else has been done. Now, we know that there's plenty of financial incentive of what's happened with the migrant crisis in Europe. We can talk about that another night. We've spoken about it many times already. But tonight, I want to bring up some things that I have stumbled across, some conversations I had to try to add some context to all of this. And we'll get around to that. But first, here is an article from The Hill, since we're still in the pre-show section of tonight's broadcast. The Hill, the U.S. plans to withdraw from the UN Human Rights Council. The Trump administration is reportedly planning on withdrawing from the United States Human Rights Council that has historically invited and allowed on representatives of some of the most bad countries as far as human rights abuses and human rights records go onto the council. So in itself, it's just like, ugh, who cares? And you already know about me in the UN. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and U.S. Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley are scheduled to announce their withdrawal at 5 p.m., according to Bloomberg. So that was today. I didn't see it, but hopefully that happened. Now, I know that the reason why they were going to do that is because of the UN's, you know, standoffishness with Israel. Now, I know there's a great many people that watch this show that can give two shits about that. Me? I'm just glad that we're pulling away from any council at the UN. In fact, I think the next thing that Donald Trump and our government should do is kick the UN out of Manhattan and turn that ugly eyesore of a building into a homeless shelter. That'll do much more for human rights and humanitarianism than the council. So maybe that'll happen next. I would love to see that building demolished and turned into something that is useful for the city or the country, you know, us, our domain. That would be great. So regardless of the reasons why we're leaving the council, I say good and demolish the entire building and take that scar off the face of Manhattan. All right, so next one after this is Zero Hedge. This is something that I think is really interesting here. Terrified San Francisco tourists are shocked by aggressive vagrants, discarded needles, and dead bodies. San Francisco, a Democratic stronghold known for cable cars, quaint architecture, and its diverse culture, has become a bastion of squalor and crime as city dwellers and visitors alike dodge aggressive, drug-addled vagrants, and it's beginning to scare the tourists. An Australian couple visiting the city were shocked by what they saw after deciding to walk back to their hotel. Quote, is it normal or am I in the bad part of town? End quote. Just walked past numerous homeless, off their faces, screaming and running all over the sidewalk near Twitter HQ, and then a murder scene. My wife is scared to leave the hotel now, reads a Wednesday posting by Reddit user Nashtendo. Very interesting here. Another Redditor said, put on your big boy pants, scared to leave the hotel? Oh, that's nice. That's nice. The Aussie replied, it was my wife that was scared, and it was partly the mass of concentrated drug-affected homeless mixed with a guy being rolled into an ambulance dead. Another quote, did LA and NYC on this trip too. Both felt safer, he said later on the thread, adding, syringes were visible. People were staggering. Others had wide, aggressive eyes. Off their faces. Might be an Australian thing. Sorry. I meant just visibly drug affected. And we all know what's going on out there. And, of course, that's Nancy Pelosi's stronghold. Nancy Pelosi's stronghold. California is known more so these days for their homeless colonies and all that stuff. So while Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and Maxine Waters and other women out there like Adam Schiff are outraged because of what's going on at the border, this is the most popular California trend that we've been able to take note of. So these people are slumlords, nothing more. Seriously, they're slumlords. And it kind of ties into everything we're talking about here tonight. Oh, one last thing before we start off the show. Speaking of women, Ocean's 8. You know how they wanted to, somebody had the great idea of taking the Ocean's movies, you know, Ocean's 12, 11, 13, all started back from the Rat Pack. Still a good one. Really, really good one. But they said, hey, you know what? Let's do something really interesting and new and original. Let's remake and reboot a movie, but we're going to cast all women instead of all men. That will really shake things up. And what do you think happened? Lackluster response. They're blaming it on men and the patriarchy. They're blaming it. It's just so. And I think it's funny. I don't even care because I knew when I saw the first poster up at Alamo Drafthouse a couple of maybe about a month ago or so, I said to myself, "Ugh, this is going to just going to come and go, and nobody's even going to notice it was here." I mean, with Ghostbusters, it was like, With Ghostbusters, when they did the female thing, it was a little bit more of a like, oh my God, this, and it had a little bit more of a tension there. And there was some internet drama with it and all that stuff. But even that, that came and went. It was, it didn't. So, I think we're back. Yes. Okay, well, we're back. It's going to be one of those nights. I already can see it's going to be one of those nights. And I'll tell you something. It already has to be a short show. I probably have to get off around 8:15 because I have band practice. But if this really gets bad, I'm just going to bail because that's – I have no patience for this tonight. And I know last night Gypsy had some trouble with the connection after I got off. He had about 3 or 4 dropouts last night. And that's just what it is. And this has been happening before the whole net neutrality thing, everybody. So as far as net neutrality goes, I've never had good luck with internet, ever. I've never had good service with the internet. I've had lucky patches. That's what we've had, lucky patches. So for all the internet net neutrality enthusiasts out there who are one way or another, you know what? I don't care who the hell provides my internet as long as it stays the fuck on. And it doesn't matter what. I haven't had success no matter what the policies in place were at the FCC. So, with that being said, let's start off the show and roll the dice, shall we? BRB. Our favorite bagel smearer. Listen to this.
Weekend in LA. I'm going to ask you about that in 1 second, but the breaking news that we just had moments ago, job numbers the lowest in anybody's memory, 3.9% unemployment rate. It's been 15 months. Let's see, do you give him credit for that 9% unemployment rate?
Well, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. But since you want to help, maybe you can help me, okay? You remember that thing we had about 30 years ago called that Korean conflict? Yeah, and where we failed to achieve victory. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the burnt brick and nuke them back into the fucking Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why! Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it. Because Truman was too much of a pussy wimp to let MacArthur go in there and blow out those commie bastards!
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Well, good teacher. He really seems to care. About what, I have no idea.
To myself, when we... You want to open, you wanna open up my thing?
In
open
a few minutes. Up. Susan finishes opening.
Oh, there we
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
All right. It's second nature now. It's all second nature now. What do I get? For my pain. So, hey, so listen to what we got to talk about tonight. The world is a vampire, and it's got to be slayed at some point, sometime soon. And we're hanging out tonight because we got to talk about now that this IG hearing today, if you're watching it, and I actually ended up watching a good portion of it because I just had it on in the background while I was writing and organizing thoughts and news and shit like that and leaving the house periodically to train clients up at the park and shit like that. So that is what I was doing. That's what I was doing. And this thing was painstaking. There's a lot going on there. And here's all I will tell you, because I'm leaving the micro study of the dialogue and the questions and what was admitted in hushed tones and what you really had to look out for and what you have to know about terminology to understand what was hinted at. You know, the open investigations and the special prosecutors and the grand juries that have been impaneled and those who have not been named and undisclosed names and two out of three other people working on the investigations out there with the Hillary investigation and Mueller that have not been named. And a lot of stuff is going on right now. By no stretch of the imagination am I being pessimistic about this stuff. It's just that as we walk this path, it's getting tedious. Getting tedious, and got to keep your head above water. And I have a few things I want to be able to bring up over the next couple of days, so we'll see that. But here's what I'm going to tell you while I leave other people to the micro study. You got 500 pages of documented bias. Pretty much what it comes down to. 500 pages of documented bias is in this IG report, which is only round one. We have more reports coming out. We have more revelations. We have a lot coming. And capping off that 500-page document is this innocuous conclusion that states that even though the text messages with Peter Strzok were very alarming and biased, even though that Jim Comey was pretty much operating by his own set of rules at the FBI and breaking all types of protocol, and everyone's personal and political biases were always at the forefront of their minds, especially when they're interacting with each other, somehow bias did not impact the way that the investigation was run. Now, I understand it comes down to a technicality, and if you want to be very, very astute in the way that you apply the law, you need to be able to go where the absolute evidence is. The evidence is that these people had political biases, like we all do. But is there any evidence, clear, undeniable evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, in which Peter Strzok, somebody said explicitly, I hate the president, and here's exactly how we are going to manipulate these investigations to make sure he doesn't get out of this alive? That is not present. There is a whole lot of, oh my God, but if we're going to talk about prosecutorial, the process here is what has gotten many killers off in the past. You know, circumstantial evidence, things that you can't make a definitive claim for them to be what they are in context, whatever. You have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So I understand all that. But the way that the conclusion reads is just very Comey-like in the way that it says that there's no bias there. And because of that, that is the pound of flesh that the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, have taken to, sunk their teeth into, and they are not letting go. Now, I still believe that the hammer is going to drop. I think it's going to drop hard. And I would love to get some people to come on to talk about this. But I feel like all the people who are doing the most, so many of the people who are doing the most impressive work right now are just not available. They haven't been available. They're busy doing other things, or they don't want anybody to even hear their voice. So that's something there too. So I'm trying to learn from people and try to convey other people's work in the way that I'm starting to learn about it and holding it up against the mainstream media, what they're saying, because you need two sides of a story, see where it all shakes out, where there's overlap and where, you know, like we always talk about, where is rhetoric and where is everything else? Who knows? So I don't know. So even though I know the hammer, I feel the hammer is going to drop, this perhaps the Comey-like conclusion from the IG report is just a nice shiny plaything right now that's keeping Democrats busy while prosecutors firm up their cases. Because it does seem like there is a lot going on behind the scenes. You know, nobody nobody in the mainstream media or the Rip Van Winkle media, nobody in the Van Winkle media is commenting on any of these comments that are these statements that are given by the Jeff Sessions, by the Michael Horowitz types. No, nobody's commenting on that when there is implications of open investigations and other things going on, because it doesn't seem like anybody wants to get the base shook. But that is what's going on. Because no matter what the line of, because this, and this is the thing that's killing me, is that no matter what the line of questioning that people like Jim Jordan or anyone else took during these hearings, people like Hakeem Jeffries, who is just a talking sphincter from New York, did one of two things. They did one of two things during this hearing. Number one, they referenced constantly to the conclusion of the report in a very passive, you know, snarky, not so much snarky, but blasé kind of a way, almost like this thing is open and shut, open and shut, pretty much asking in their own way to Michael Horowitz, Mr. Horowitz, just to confirm, is all of this pointless, and are our enemies evil in their interpretation of everything you have provided to us in the first 550 pages outside of the conclusion page? Is that correct? In their own way, that's what they're trying to convey to the people. And then, of course, to which Michael Horowitz, he says, you know, in many ways, yes, that is correct. Not agreeing with them on a political standpoint, but in the way that they phrase their question, in the way that's going to be reported on, his yes is going to confirm that, oh, this is all nonsense. This is all those those damn red tie wearing GOP types just being, I don't know, paranoid and trying to get away from the issue that they're really scared of, which is Russia, because that's the second thing that they don't stop talking about. So it's either one of two things in these hearings. Either number one, they ask questions about the conclusion page to just get Michael Horowitz to say over and over again there was no bias in the way that there was no bias that they can find in the way that this was the investigation was handled. And then, of course, the second one is that they go completely off topic and they talk about how pervasive the Russian attack on our 2016 election was. Russia. It was Russia that rigged the election. It was Comey that killed Hillary's campaign. That was happening. Actually, Hakeem Jeffries said in the same rant that Russia influenced the campaign and Jim Comey killed Hillary's campaign. I don't even know what they knew what to stick with. I mean, there's been so many excuses since November of 2016. They're just throwing them all out there. They're just throwing them all out there, even if they don't make sense when they're said in the same sentences, but whatever. And Hakeem Jeffries, I mean, blamed Russia and Comey equally for Trump. Yet, once again, the firing of Comey is supposed to be the key evidence that Trump was obstructing something. So he fires the person that ruined Hillary's campaign, Trump does, but it's also the key part in the evidence that Trump is obstructing justice, even though Andrew McCabe, shortly after Comey's firing, said under oath that no investigation that was ongoing under Comey had been stopped, delayed, or halted in any way, and they were adequately resourced. So I don't know what could have been obstructed by getting rid of a man that nobody liked. But, you know, I don't know, because obstruction is just one of those words, just like constitutional or unconstitutional is one of those words. I don't know what I mean. I think maybe the Democrats are referencing this entire time to bowel obstruction or something. I think maybe that's what it is. I think maybe they've been trying to tell us for the last 2 years that Donald Trump has caused an epidemic of bowel obstruction for progressives. I think that's what it is. They haven't been able to pass a healthy BM in 2 years, and he needs to be brought to justice because of it. Because nothing makes sense outside of that. And also, if you watch these hearings too, if you know anything about children, and I know quite a few things about children at this point, from being one and from being around one, being around children since the time that I would say I'm coming out of the last phases of my childhood, which I still have to say is college. That's when I started coaching. And now when I look back at, you know, a college sophomore and a junior, I say, that's still a kid. Okay? So if you know anything about children, then you know exactly, you exactly know what to spot when children have been up to no good. You have seen what they do when admitting that they have been caught up in something naughty is just not an option. You've seen what they do when they're defending, even if they're not the ones who were part of the grand scheme, even if they're not ones who were the bag men or anything like that, even if they're not the ones who had anything to do with the plot at hand, even if they just want to defend their friends, even if they want to preserve their parents' view of their best friends, who they know are the Eddie Haskells of the entire world. They are the Eddie Haskells of the political world. That's what these people are. And as you're going to see tonight, it doesn't really have much to do with party, because they become one glob. They become one glob in one way or another once you go farther down the rat hole. So that's that. And what do they do? What do these children do when they know that they are at, when they've been caught, or when they're being, you know, snooped around, they know that the jig is up here or there, and there's just not many ways that they can help out anymore, and they cannot keep their story straight, and nothing is working. They change subjects. There's a lot of that today. A lot of that today. They get very angry. They get very indignant about things that seem like they're making mountains out of molehills. I mean, is it really convenient? Is it really not? What should I just say is it that... Is it not obvious at this point that the week of these hearings, they go up in arms about border detentions, illegal immigrant detentions at the border? They pick the week of the IG hearings so that their colleagues on the committee over there in the House are going to be able to shift subject to grandstand about how we have a literal Nazi as a president? Yeah, and I understand that people just like dropping the N-word, Nazi, whenever the hell they want. But, I mean, we had, Hayden, the old CIA director, and Nancy Pelosi are saying that what we see at the border right now that has gone on for many administrations, and half of them Democratic, including the last one, where people are coming over the border and they're being apprehended and put into detention centers, and children are being separated from the families for a little bit, and all that stuff. There is not communication disconnects. Everybody has clean beds. In fact, we've gotten stories out of there for the last couple of years how people are demanding that better gourmet food be brought in, because of course eating sand as they crawl across the desert was better than the tacos that we brought in. Apparently. That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned the last couple of years with everything going on at the border, with the way that we're busing people around the United States and plopping them into suburbs, places, and subsidizing their housing and their education and saying, yeah, you have an immigration date. You have a court date with the immigration judge in about 5 years. Just make yourself at home. You'll be all right. What I've learned is that beggars can be choosers. Beggars can be choosers until the people dispensing all of the goods, they have nothing else to dispense, and then they try to get rid of the beggars, because at that point they've already expended all of their human capital. They've taken up all of the consent they needed. They've consolidated all the power, so people do not have a choice. And then there goes your republic. There goes your democracy, and in comes autocratic rule. That's just what happens. We're not that far along, but trust me, if you think that any of these people who vote Democrat, if this goes on like this, and if we don't, if this pushback that is happening right now doesn't continue, then you're looking at French Revolution. And that guillotine, the French Revolution, was a thirsty machine. Thirsty machine. First went the aristocracy, and then went all the people who thought that they were going to have a seat at the table when the new regime came in, and they realized, oh, I was just a fucking pawn. Oh, I was just an ideological dupe. And that's what it is. But I'm getting away from that right now. Pretty much what I was saying was that isn't it convenient that the same week of these IG hearings, everybody's talking about a problem that has been around for a long, long time. Long, long time. Changing subjects, getting angry, being righteously indignant, and walking out after they say their piece. Oh, my God. And they always shift the burden to others, and they become very, very accusatory. And that's exactly what we see out of children who are about to be found out for all the naughty things that they've been doing and all the naughty company they've been keeping. Hey, listen, I'm not a know-it-all, but I can sit back and observe people. If you're a writer of any sort, you should be able to make these observances. You sit back and you observe people and things and subtleties. That's it. Okay? That's what you do. That's what we all do. And you know what kills me when I'm watching these fucking freaks? I'm sorry. I didn't curse that much until now. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make this into a family show. But you know what really kills me? Here's what really kills me. I'm still paying my 2017 taxes. Lauren and I, we filed jointly for the first time this year because we're good citizens and we don't want to get in trouble. And we filed together. And, of course, you know, we file our extensions and we're paying little by little so it doesn't, you know, destroy us. We don't have to dip into all of our savings and kills. So we say, you know what, let's file a 120-day extension and we just take bites out of it so that we can handle it. I'm sure many of you at home do things like that as well. Well, Lauren was hit with a $700 shared responsibility tax because she did not have health care in 2017 because she couldn't afford the affordable government health care. So, $700 that I'm fighting tooth and nail to not have to pay. And you know what's really infuriating about that? Just to watch that bill come in for her, which of course is a bill that I'm going to handle with her as well. But you know what's really infuriating is watching a bunch of liberal tight asses twist themselves into pretzels to avoid taking responsibility in any setting for any subject, but especially in the ones I was watching today, twisting themselves into pretzels to avoid taking responsibility. And people like you and I have to pay shared responsibility taxes so these exempt freaks, these freaks who wrote in their own fucking exemptions, can buy votes and never admit when a bad plan fails. That's what really pisses me off, that I'm going to spend the rest of the year paying off last year's taxes so I can get ready for the next ass, fucking in January. So that these freaks who wrote in their own exemptions can buy votes. That's what really fucking kills me. That's what really kills me. And if there's anybody who needed health care last year, it was Lauren. I told her sometimes, you know, when we're wondering about when we were going to get physicals and what was going on, I said, you should just go in there and say that you're an illegal immigrant. You'll get first-class pay, and nobody will ever ask you to pay up. No, first-class treatment, nobody will ever ask you to pay up. But back to immigration, because I mentioned something last night in passing. And boy, oh boy, did I come across something I'd like to add. Now, first, a reminder of a few things from last night before we get into that comment in passing that I want to talk about. Number one, the current immigration narrative is a complete distraction. It is nonsense. Democrats have no platform, they have no fundraising, and they are desperately in need of votes. You have to understand that, number one. That's actually number two, okay? The IG hearing, like we just talked about a little bit here, is dangerous. The IG hearing is dangerous, which is why people like swollen newborn baby face Elijah Cummings used his allotted time to weep about the separation of children from adults at the border, even though he didn't care when Bill Clinton was doing it. And then if he cared during George W. Bush's administration, he must have taken a cat nap during Barack Obama when he was doing it. I don't know. But now he's a human rights champion again. He's a human rights champion again. How convenient. Here, listen to this for a little bit. Listen to Elijah Cummings, champion of the world. Listen to this. This is how he was using his allotted time.
Republicans in Congress are only willing to use their full arsenal of constitutional weapons to attack Hillary Clinton. or protect Donald Trump. Neither the Oversight Committee nor the Judiciary Committee has issued a single subpoena to investigate President Donald Trump or any other topic related to his administration, including the key moral and ethical issue of today, which is the president's new policy to separate children from their families. And so I ask the question, and it is a simple question. Are we really going to sit here, 70 members of the Congress of the United States of America, in 2018, and have a hearing that just repeats the hearings the Senate had yesterday on Hillary Clinton's emails?
Are you? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, calm down. Calm down, Elijah. Calm down. Please. No, please. Please, Elijah. No! Don't cry. You're breaking my heart. I can't do this. He's breaking my heart. I can't. I don't even give a shit one thing he just said right there. All of this is an act. All of this is an act. All an act. So on top of that, let's keep going. More reminders before we get into the meat and potatoes here. They're champions who think that the clean beds, they're champions of people now. Even though ignoring it for the, you know, however long, whenever it was convenient to ignore it. They're champions now of people. They think now that clean beds and regular meals and outdoor time and legal representation, these children receive when they come over the border illegally, is punishment. And they think it's cruel compared to getting dragged across the desert and smuggled into a foreign country by the help of their parents and or human traffickers. They think it's punishment. You can make a better argument that those kids are safer now than they were when they were with their parents. And I said this last night, depending on where you live, if you vehemently reject Common Core education, or if you fly a Gadsden flag outside of your house, it's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody may call CPS on you to make sure that your children are not being harmed by flagrant displays of patriotism. You know, American children are taken all the time when parents and guardians go to jail, commit certain types of crimes, or they have to go to rehab and they have drug problems. But how dare anyone put a kid into a separate housing complex after their parents put them into the hands of a cartel member to break into another country? I can't believe. And this is only has gone this far because there is such a poor representation in the media of countering opinions. I cannot believe it. I can't believe that this logic is holding up. Fuck you. Microphone stand. I can't believe that this logic is holding up. And just today, a Border Patrol agent on CNN, I haven't been able to get the clip yet, I read an article and I saw the screenshot, and it came from a couple of people that I follow. A Border Patrol agent on CNN just said that they often see unaccompanied young teenage girls coming over the border or coming to the border with birth control or Plan B pills on their person. So they, at the end of their trek across the desert, across the border, when they're apprehended by Border Patrol agents, it is not uncommon to see unaccompanied young teenage girls holding and carrying birth control supplies and Plan B pills given to them by their parents, because the parents assume that their teenage girls will be violated along the way, that they will be raped and impregnated along the way to the U.S. That is a parent. That's what a parent does. Here's some Plan B, and here's some Yasmin. Make sure you keep it. Make sure you keep. And then what? That's the price to pay. That's the price to play. Price to pay to fling one of your kids over the wall, fling one of your kids over the border. Hopefully, they get picked up somewhere and are able to settle in somewhere, and then send back for the rest of the family because of this chain migration nonsense. But of course, this is only an outrage because it's an election year and they have absolutely no steam going into November. No steam. The blue wave does not look very well at all. And the IG hearing was way too dangerous. The questions being asked at the IG hearing, way too dangerous to be able to allow that to be the only thing that Americans were looking at this entire week. So in comes human rights violations at the border, even though the real human rights violation is how they actually got here. But last night, let me get around to the big thing now. Last night, I told you that this is where the rubber meets the road, this issue of illegal immigration. Now, there are people out here, when we talk about this from practical standpoints, from real humanitarian standpoints, why having this open, gaping hole of a welfare state and open borders is actually, it ruins domestic economies. It ruins just the way that people act south of the border. It is a very, very unfortunate and a very, very unwise and unconscionable thing to do to not only this generation, but future generations with the debt that we're accruing and with the degradation of the culture and of our rule of law, our justice system. You're degrading this. I mean, this country is going to be passed off. You want to talk about people that are willing to cut off their nose to spite their face. They're giving away the future of the country for winning contemporary political arguments and hopefully skirting some kind of prosecution because there's a lot of illegality going on right now. And it's where the rubber meets the road for both parties, for the Uniparty. All right? That everyone is making out like bandits on illegal immigration. It's not about compassion. It's not about families. It's not about preserving the spirit of America. You know, a land of immigrants, that whole nonsense. Both parties are profiting from this. Only one of them, I should add, only one of them is in line to gain votes from it. But both parties have profited from this. And I think one of the best points I saw made last night when another blue check nincompoop on Twitter made a comment about how what we're seeing at the border right now proves that Hillary Clinton would have been a better president than Trump. No, child, no, no, no. You wouldn't have heard about this if there was a Clinton presidency. All right? Nothing would have stopped, but you wouldn't have heard about this. And in fact, all of the stories that we're dealing with today, whether it be the abuses of the Obama administration with the way that they were using the intelligence community to spy, whether it be the FBI, the DOJ, no matter where it is. I mean, just look at the ODNI and look at James Clapper and John Brennan talking directly with Jake Tapper and CNN. I mean, they're working in tandem with this, with these people to be able to create narrative, to be able to reach a political end and to put away and dampen and shove away and cover up for those who are friendly and fellow travelers to the media. It doesn't matter what it is. You can talk about the dossier. You can talk about this willy-nilly, selective outrage over how we deal with illegal immigration in an open border, welfare state society. You could talk about anything. Whatever the issue is today, all of these stories come down to one thing, that we are dealing with a press that has chosen a side. All of this stems with the press choosing a side and choosing to be a cover-up tool, instead of being somebody who covers stories and going where the facts lead them and actually covering stories. They are cover-up artists. That's the only reason why things are this bad. There's been no checking mechanism. You know, the old saying is that when the cat is away, the mice will play. Well, the cat is supposed to be a free press. So, I mean, why do you think it's infested? Everything's infested. But, you know, we know all about Operation Mockingbird, so this is nothing new. It's just being, it's just becoming more and more overt, more and more ugly. So literally all the big issues that we have right now that we're dealing with is because the press protects one side and aims to destroy the other. And that's really it. Now, first, I want you to look at this. This is from 2014. The Dream Act I saw, it sure doesn't look like Ellis Island, okay? This is from New York Times. Editor's note, this is from June 26, 2014, Obama administration. Look at this. Talking about the Dream Act. These are facilities. Look at that. Throw down the cage. Put kids behind it. Holding facilities. Here's another one from Breitbart. They were covering this too. All right, in the same, I believe that's June 2014 as well. Leaked images reveal children warehoused in crowded U.S. cells. Border Patrol has been overwhelmed. That's because the welcome mat had been rolled out. And what did the Obama administration do after that? Did they send anybody home? Yeah. Now I know that I said that they're a prolific deportation administration. That is true, but there is a nuance to that as well. That a good portion of those deportations were just turning people around at the border. Somebody comes to the border, they get turned in the opposite direction. It's actually counted as a deportation. So technically, under the Obama administration, somebody could be deported four times in a day if they just walk a mile down the line and try to get in again and are once again turned away. So there's a whole lot of things going on there. But here's the real thing. Once they're in, then what are you going to say? Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do at this point? This is all in 2014. Where's the outrage? No outrage. You know, it's not going away no matter what the administration was. That's why this needs to be spoken about in a bigger way. Now, why isn't it going away despite the administration in question? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Now, Last Refuge from Conservative Treehouse put out something I thought was really interesting, and I went out to speak to somebody, to a few other friends of mine, to get some more insight on this, and what I got back was pretty amazing. Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. We used to track this scheme when it first started in 2010 to 2014. This is Sundance talking from the Conservative Treehouse. I'm going to put this up. Ready? You see this tweet from Jake Tapper, and there's a tweet from Jake Tapper, and it's asking yesterday, who's caring for kids separated from their parents at the border? All right. Now, he goes down, he says, look closely, Sundance says, and he points to a key facility right there, Southwest Key Programs Casa Padre. The business end, he goes on, the business end of immigration is what Southwest Key is all about. How big is it? Well, check this out. Now, right here is all of the funding that Southwest Key receives. And so far, this is what they have gotten in 2018. We're only about halfway through the year. We're looking at $310 million of taxpayer money spent so far in 2018, and that's just one company in this one part of the year. Now, prior research has showed, he continues, that this specific private company, Southwest Key Programs, nets 98.76% of its earnings from government grants. That is taxpayer money that does not need to be paid back. And already this year, $310 million. Southwest Key is like the motherlode of sketchy exploitation of immigrants. Seriously sketchy. Like so sketchy that when we were doing research on them in 2014, we found clear evidence and interviewed people who confirmed Southwest Key was using millions of U.S. taxpayer funds to pay off South American human smugglers. So they got 55 locations in six states serving 6,000 a day. It's a great scheme, he continues. Southwest Key pays human traffickers to bring them illegal aliens. Apparently, they like children the best. Each child alien is worth money from a U.S. grant funding. Then Southwest Key uses part of the award to pay off the traffickers. Human smuggling is a big business. If you dig into the IRS 990 forms, you'll see a lot of, well, generous wage and benefit perks. Golf, florists, cafes, third-party mortgages, money for spouses on the payroll, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, it's for children, right? The sad thing is, it's you and me that are paying the South American human smugglers through U.S. taxpayer funds, laundered through the immigration business bagmen at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and or U.S. Catholic Charities. This is what's really getting at here. The faith-based programs here are a part of all of this stuff. The churches, many of them, and we all have our criticisms of the churches, especially the Catholic Church, what's been going on with the diocese. It has started making more and more sense now, being as though we have a open border socialist pope. It's making more and more sense now. Southwest Keys Programs Incorporated, or Baptist Child and Family Service Emergency Management Division. These immigration groups get massive health and human services grants and then pay off the politicians and human smugglers, including MS-13. It's a vicious cycle. It's only gotten worse, and this is regardless of party. Now, we know one party is making out with their best efforts to gain all of the votes that they can, but this is a major, major economic undertaking. It's only gotten worse because the amount of money involved has increased by several thousand percent. Look at the growth here. So here we go. Look at this. So unaccompanied, UAC is another way of saying illegal alien. Unaccompanied adult child. Unaccompanied child. Apprehensions by country of origin. This is from 2008 to 2014. Look at the hell what's going on. Isn't it amazing, too? It starts at 2012, right around the time that Barack Obama was elected. He got his election. He got reelected, and then at that point knew that it was going to be lame duck, and let's go all in. So it was pretty conservative the first 4 years. Look at that over here, and boom, shoot right up. Unbelievable. Tens of thousands. So when you've got each, he continues Sundance, when you've got each individual immigration business making hundreds of millions, and politicians getting kickbacks and bribes to Mexican government officials and payments to smugglers, who do you think actually wants the business to stop? This crew doesn't. This crew doesn't because the faith-based part of the scheme is their bread and butter, and that's why this happens. And he points out more specifically Ted Cruz. And what do you know? Ted Cruz has been out in the news lately talking about his own little ideas for de facto amnesty and all this stuff. And he's shown, and people like Ted Cruz are at all these events. And this is a guy that I voted for in the primaries. So I definitely have a little bit more suspicion of Ted Cruz. This crew does not want it to stop because they benefit from the cheap labor and the taxpayers, not them. Not them. They're not the ones funding it. The taxpayers are. So they're getting cheap labor and so much money. If you do a little research, I'm going to put this in the chat room. You guys and gals can take a look at this. I want you to take a look at this on your own. It's in the chat room. That's the first thing there. Now, I went to go talk to somebody. Then I went to the old article that they did in 2014 at the Conservative Treehouse. I want you to listen to this. They're talking about Southwest Key Programs overview. Then he goes to they go to a KEYE TV reporters down there in Texas that they had gone around asking questions to talk about what the hell's been going on. Okay. They discovered a ruse and the tentacles of how these private corporations I'm reading now, i.e. nonprofit groups, think Acorn, actually tie to their community and hide under the cover of funding from the DHS and HHS grants. We found this specific company, private company that nets 98.76% of their earnings from government grants. And remember, $310 million so far this year alone of our money, taxpayer money, all the money that people like me and Lauren are paying off all throughout the year so we can get ready for the next ass fucking in January 2019. KEYE TV Texas reports in 2014 more than $100 million of federal grant money this year has gone to an Austin-based company that runs unaccompanied minor shelter across the country. Its websites say Southwest Key Programs is the largest provider of services to unaccompanied children in the United States. Their headquarters is in Austin, Texas. A brief online description details the children they help and how they're accepted, and a short write-up of the types of services provided. A map provided by Southwest Key officials outlines their different locations and programs across the country. If you have questions about the money it receives from the federal government for unaccompanied children officials with the nonprofit, they aren't talking. While their corporate address is listed as right here in Austin, when you try to ask about their child migrant shelters, you get directed to a federal agency, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I don't know why. But this is why all of these things got to be axed. They've got to be axed. It's not about saying, oh, well, this is why I'm talking. I always talk about principles. And this one follows this person and this anonymous blogger and that one. And we have Q and we have this one and we have that one. Everybody's talking about this certain things and deep state this and that one's a shill. Fuck all of that stuff and concentrate on. It's good to know, you know, where all of the stories are building. It's good to know who is getting in trouble for what. And for that reason, that's why all the bloggers, and in many respects, I've had a great time reading Q, and still do. And just to be able to keep track of what's going on in the news and what's going on in the blogs and all the drops, and then, of course, just sticking to reading history, understanding socialism, understanding how the world is being dominated or attempted to be dominated, and understanding what our principles are. If you know our principles, you know that HHS, DHS, the TSA, the IRS, all of these people, all of these departments that house and employ tens of thousands of people, all with their own little bits of authority and their own little ideas of how, and many, many people do a fine job, a noble job, and they just want to do a good job for their country. But we're seeing how easily corruptible people are, especially at the policymaking level. So to be able just to identify what the rotten parts of any of these agencies are and say, oh, look, there they are. Let's get them the fuck out of there and get some good people in there. No, 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 no. It's all got to go. It's all got to go. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why your grandparents put plastic on the couch. Okay? This is why your grandparents, for all you guineas out there, put plastic on the couch in the living room. Because you can't trust the kids, even if they're drinking from sippy cups. You can't trust them. Let's continue. In an email back to KEY TV, government officials say they do not identify regular/permanent unaccompanied alien children program shelters for the safety and security of minors and staff at the facilities. So even the government is not talking. Even though when you go to the facilities themselves, they tell you to go to the government. Government says, we don't know anything either. They did acknowledge more than $120 million in grant money that had been awarded to the Austin-based nonprofit so far this fiscal year in 2014. Okay? Now listen to this. As a part of the ongoing research over there at the Conservative Treehouse, they've been able to look into this organization for over a week at that point. This organization in Austin was led by one Dr. Juan Sanchez, president and CEO, who in 2012 made off with a salary of $338,770 of our money. Of all the hours I spent sweating in a fucking park making people doing jumping jacks and planks, some of that went to him. With a total company payroll, listen to this, Total company payroll in 2012. I'm sorry, this was in 2012, I guess. Oh, no, it was from 14, but they're reaching back 2 years. Total company payroll of around $65 million on a total taxpayer revenue of $85 million. Total taxpayer revenue, $85 million, $65 of which went to payroll. There's your charity. 90% of it goes to administrative costs and these people's pay. These people's pay, which are very, very deserving. Very deserving. So there you go. There's Southwest Key, everybody, that Jake Tapper introduced to the world. They don't even know what was going on. Now, that's only a little bit of it. Now, what I'm finding is that these churches, especially the Catholic diocese, are in on this too. It's not just these facilities. It's the whole kit and caboodle here. All right, a friend of mine who I spoke to off air, who is a great resource of mine, he told me that there's even a parallel program started by Obama. Now, I have to look into this a little bit more. I'll bring more information back to you. But maybe somebody out there can send me some information that they find, because I'm sure that many people at home have a little bit more free time, especially when they're watching this show. You can just go type some shit up and send it over to me. So if you find anything, let me know. Now, there's a parallel program started by Obama to start shelling out money to import Syrian refugees. And once again, the Catholic Church is 100% in on it. Totally unvetted refugees, mind you. Totally unvetted migrants from south of the border. Everybody's unvetted. Just bring them on over. All that matters in this scheme is body count. Warm bodies. Because there is a certain amount of money that is given and awarded for each kid. And as you all know, as you all saw there, from that fund, think about this. Think about this for a second. Let's take the figure of $85 million of government grants, okay? $85 million of government grants, and 90% of it goes to administrative costs and salaries and payroll for the facility itself. So you wonder why bodies is all that matters? Because these kids are going to be tossed, they're thrown into cages, eventually dispersed around the U.S. to put into foster homes or to put into HUD housing and thrown into the school system, where more taxpayer money is going to be put in there to give them government subsidized basic math classes in Spanish. But they're completely unvetted, and most of the money is going to the people that are running the schemes. They're being fed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and bowls of rice. I mean, it's making me rethink all of those Catholic charities. You know, so still, from a friend of mine, when I started poking around about this, he was telling, this is a firsthand account right here. It's not just the immigration activists profiting, he said. Many left-wing religious organizations are too. The Catholic Church, even the very large non-denominational church that I belong to was trying to get in on the scam. I had a big argument with my pastor about it. He was all about the whole compassion, this and that, and I told him bullshit. It's profit, and you know it, and he was not pleased that I knew about it. He also wasn't a fan of my pointing out how they're selling out the community, the very community that they serve. They're selling out community safety for money and for claiming that it's for compassion. And when you say community safety, it comes back to the very same thing that Donald Trump was called racist first and foremost when talking about the situation at the border. Disease is coming over the border. There is a return of TB. There is a return and outbreaks of hepatitis A all over the place. Scabies has returned. I mean, there's so many different things. We know that a few other outbreaks, a couple of those parasites. What were they? That was paralyzing people. These outbreaks at the border are becoming more and more. It's hard to keep up medically. You have the disease that comes over, the rapes that comes over. Hell, we just were CNN just today. I don't know if they knew that they were going to help their cause or not by interviewing this Border Patrol agent that said that little girls are coming over, you know, well-stocked with birth control and Plan B because their parents assumed that they would have gotten knocked up along the way. I mean, so this is horrible, horrible shit. And they're talking about compassion? Violence, gangs. I mean, for fuck's sake, it's the gangs that are bringing the people over. And it's money up front. You're saying, now, that was one of my biggest questions. Where does the money laundering begin? Because we know the taxpayers are being milked. We're being milked. And they're sending all this down to these facilities. And people are making lavish. They're living lavish lives. Six-figure lives. And you know that it's all money up front from the actual illegal immigrants that pay the coyotes to get them over the border. You know, when they're shoving dozens of people into the back of an 18-wheeler. That's all money up front for sure, but there's other things going on here. He continues, and violence and others that come with those refugees all ignored because of money, and they claim it was for compassion. I and many others left the church over it, and the plan eventually fell through. The community got word of it and realized what was going on, and the public outcry was loud and large. Okay, and I'll tell you who else is going to be very, very concerned for community. Legal immigrants. Don't think that the only people who are upset that there's crime and human smuggling and disease and people who want to just take advantage of the system coming over the border are just white, waspy folks who don't want to have brown people living in their neighborhood. No, it's the brown people too. And that's when a bell was rung for me. You know, I'm just thinking about extreme left-wing activism. Hijacking religious organizations. There's a long history of that, and using them as vehicles for their agenda, especially the Catholic Church. It would explain the Pope perfectly. And it sounds very eerily similar to another left-wing movement that we talked about in a previous show. It was actually a Thursday night show with Rob months and months ago. We talked about the Nazis with their modified pro-government version of Christianity, which was called positive Christianity. Now, we also know that the modern-day Green Movement took a lot from the first big Green Movement that we know of, which was the Nazi Green Party. Okay, the Nazi environmental movement was unbelievable, unbelievably telling with what we're talking about here today. Go look into both of them, or go look for our old episode, search for it in the old videos. That was a good one from a long time ago. Positive Christianity and the Nazi Green Movement. What do you guys and gals think about it? I can't take calls tonight, unfortunately, because I have to go to band practice. I just saw the guys start wheeling in all their equipment for tonight. But I have to say some thank yous, and I want to get around to more of this stuff, hopefully on Thursday. I would love to ask what Rob thinks about this stuff. I'm going to get more information about this. I want to put the preliminary stuff out there, and we can color this in more as time goes on. But let me get a... Let me get my thank yous out of the way. Thank you to everybody who watches this show and contributes to this show. Whether all you can do to contribute is share it and like it and reblog it and all that stuff and just help tell people about it. Because if it's not for you guys and gals telling people about it, I'm not going to be seen. It's never been that way. It's never going to be that way. I'm sure of it until somebody sees me and, yeah, I don't know what the hell happens. But that's why I am so emotionally attached to this show, because it's only where it is right now. It's only sustained because the small amount of people that I was talking to at first became a large amount of people, because slowly we grew together and we had a great time and other people came along for the ride. So thank you all so much. And just go to all the links in the description of this video on YouTube and elsewhere and get wise to everywhere we are. I have to say that quickly tonight. Also, thank you to all of our military, men and women of the military, both home and abroad. I want you all home, safe and sound. Thursday night, we'll be talking about the Space Force with Rob. I have some things I want to talk about Space Force that Trump brought up. I have a few other things I have to talk about. Tomorrow night, I want to talk about, finally, this thing that happened with Bill de Blasio and the discrimination of Asian students because of standards, educational standards that want to be, because the Asian students are too successful. So I am, I'm talking on borrowed time here. I just had a dropout. Thank you, everybody. And also thank you to all my Patreon sponsors and bosses and boss ladies. Thank you so much. Please go to Patreon. Just become a dollar sponsor of the show. A dollar a month. It really would make a whole lot of difference in my life and the way that I'm able to grow the show. We're kind of stagnating, and I appreciate all of the super chats. Listen to this. Cosmic 84, $25. Keep up the fight. Keep up the laughs. Voices like yours are going to be needed more than ever in the times ahead. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you, Cosmic. Thank you. Jack Ryan, another 50 spot. Jack, what do you do for a living, man? You don't have to tell. You can tell me in private. But I'm very. What do you do? Do you work for one of these shelters? I don't. Are you getting some of my money? This goes out to Mike D. So glad you are here. Thank you, Jack. Just Busta, $10. Thank you, Busta. Jack Martin, $14.99. Bring the fucking pain, Frank. Pain. And keep on, Frank says, tree climbing. Tree climbing gear got rid of the gear. Thank you guys so much for all that stuff. And now for all of our patrons, I want to say a special thank you. Here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Get on this list for July.
Welcome to Intermission. Yeah, Intermission. Yeah, Intermission. Yeah, Intermission.
And I never told you about HD Miracam tonight. Oh my God. Well, what's there to say? What's there to say? This is one of the niftiest pieces of equipment you can put in your car. It's small. It's inconspicuous. Nobody will know what the hell it is. It looks like a little bit of an ornament right there. A little bit of an ornament. But what is it? It's a 720p camera that can swivel around. It's got all this moving technology. Okay? It's got motion sensor. It's like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. If somebody moves, it sees it. All right? Get rid of the flare. Get rid of the flare. Night vision. You'll be able to track everybody down, including your ex-girlfriends. Just what are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know what you do with this. But there's so much. You got to give it to somebody for their birthday, a graduation gift. Think about all the people who are graduating right now who just got their licenses. They are a liability to themselves and the rest of the world. Get them this. They are a insurance claim waiting to happen. I don't know what to say anymore. But you can go and find HD Miracam in all the links below, underneath this video, and also on quitefranklypodcast.com. Everybody, thank you so much for this tonight. I am sweating like a pig. This AC does absolutely nothing. But I'll talk to you later. I'm going to go sweat like even more of a pig in band practice now. Talk to you all soon. Thank you.
I'll catch you on the flip side.
The Quite Frankly podcast is filmed before a live studio audience. And now our super chatters, Cosmic 84, Jack Ryan, Busta, Jack Martin, Tree Climbing. Thank you guys so much. See you all tomorrow. It'll be a good one. It'll be a full 2 hours, too.